There's a scripture found in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want to start off on this. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No guilt. No shame. No consciousness of something that you've done wrong. There is therefore now, present tense, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You say, but suppose you're in Christ Jesus and you commit a sin, or you do something you shouldn't do, or cheat somebody, or have a vulgar thought, or you steal something, and then you're in Jesus, but then do you have any condemnation? You certainly do have condemnation, because you're going to hell unless you get it repented of. You have committed a sin. But the Bible says, he that is born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him. That doesn't mean that you can't sin, because the same one that said that right before it, he said, little children, I write to you that you go out of the sin business, that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He said, he that is born of God sinneth not. The word sinneth is a continuation. You sin today, you sin tomorrow, you sin yesterday, you're going to sin the next day, and you're a sinner. But how many believe that he come to destroy the works of the devil, and that's sin? His name should be called Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. There is a fountain open in the house of David for sin and all uncleanness. And how many believe that the word sin is a thing he hates? It's a thing that God doesn't want in you. And how many believe that when we're in the flesh, it's normal and easy for us to sin? But when we are in the Spirit, how many believe it's easy for us to live for God righteously and holy, and we don't have to sin? Am I right? Now, the Bible said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, some may say, well, when I get in Christ, I can just do anything I want to, and there's no condemnation. If you commit sin, you are going to be guilty of sin, and it's got to be forgiven. But what do we mean? If we are in Christ Jesus, we're in the Spirit. May I say this? If you live in the flesh, you cannot live in Christ. The Bible teaches that. The Bible said, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh if you're in Christ. It didn't say that you never commit an act of the flesh. I've committed an act of the flesh several times, and immediately I realized that there was a consciousness in me that told me that I had done wrong. It wasn't the thing that God was going to put up with, and I had to settle it with God then and there, or he'd leave. There was a man that had Christ in him, and he was swept and garnished. God got a hold of him and cleaned him up and drove the devil out. The devil never goes out, and you can't put him out. It takes God to put him out, but the devil said, I was ousted. And God came in and cleaned him all up, and then after he was cleaned up, he went ahead and forgot God and got to doing things he shouldn't do, and the devil came back and found his body, the temple that he used to be in, swept and garnished. But it was empty. It didn't have anything in it. Meaning that God wasn't there. He was empty. And the devil said, I'll come in. You say, now who gave that kind of a story there? Our Lord Jesus Christ, that knows all about demons, and he knows all about human beings, and he knows all about the plan of salvation. It was him that said the devil came back and found him empty, swept and garnished, and said, I believe I'll go back in him. Now, could he do it? He certainly did. It said he went and got some more devils, more wicked than himself, and he came in, and dwelt there, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. Now, he was bad to begin with, and he was a sinner, and he was unclean. He wasn't swept. He wasn't garnished. But when God got a hold of him, he drove the devil out and swept and garnished him. How many believe there's a lot of people today, like it says, they are swept and garnished, but they want to serve God on their own terms? The easiest way on the face of the earth to go to heaven in flying colors is to get exactly where God says you should be, and it's the easiest thing in the world. It's as easy to serve God as it is to serve the devil when you reach a place and sell out to God and get the experience that God has for you and walk in the Spirit. It's as easy to serve God as it is to serve the devil, because you become tremendously miserable if you don't serve God after you've had the peace and the joy and the power of the Holy Ghost. We are what? We're kept by what? The power of God. This morning, I want everybody in this building, before you go out here, I'd like for you to say, thank God I'm going out and there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation, and that cannot be unless Christ is in you. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not a made-over creature, a brand new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Now, we must have faith for these different things that I'm mentioning. We've got to have faith to believe that God's going to do them. I want you, first of all, to know I'm giving you the word. It's the truth, and God expects us to dwell there. It says that if we're in Christ, we who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is the flesh walk that brings us trouble. It's the flesh walk that brings envy. It brings strife. It brings misunderstanding. It brings bitterness. It brings quarrels. It brings dishonesty. It is the flesh that promotes or germinates lusts of various kinds. How many believe that if you're dwelling in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh? Now, since you can't go to heaven without Christ in you, you've got to have him in you to go to heaven. Unless you die under the age of accountability, there is no way that you can go to heaven unless you have Christ. When does Christ come in? Christ comes in at the new birth. It's called a spiritual birth. Now, this spiritual birth is had when we come to God. You don't merit it. You come to God and you just believe that God made it possible through Jesus Christ. He paid the price and he spilled his blood. That all you've got to do is just accept the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, not from your lip, but from your heart. When you make a surrender, and you know when you make it, when you say, Lord, once and for all, eternally, yes, I am surrendering my life to you. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You confess your sins right there. God will take you in and you will become a new creature. You will not be the person you was before. I don't care if you were raised in a child in a home where you pray at the table every day and pray your prayers every night at the bed. There will come a time in your young life that you'll go to an altar or you'll kneel somewhere and you'll say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. My children, every one of them, there was a time in their life that they were born again. And how many believe Jesus said, except a man is born again? Do you reckon there's ever a time when somebody had such a good mama and such a good papa, and they both just were so full of sweetness and so good that they had a nice little darling, and they just raised that child up with all kind of scriptures and prayed at the table and even prayed over its little milk before it would take its bottle and would pray with it at night? Do you reckon there would be such a thing as sometime a person getting so good that they could just kind of coast like that and go right on into heaven without ever being born again? to be born again, there's only two births: flesh birth, spirit birth. The Bible, Jesus said there are two seeds: corruptible seed by your mom and daddy, incorruptible by God the Father, incorruptible by God. And unless a man is born of the Spirit, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed that lives, it has life in it. And when you are born again, you are a what? A new creature. You see, there has to be that system, or God's system would be all fouled up. Why? Because as some people come from the back of the track, the daddy, ever since he knew a daddy, drinks and cusses and carouses around, tells him to go out and steal. Like the fellow said, he don't steal much, but what he steal, he bring it to papa, and he sends his kids out to steal and bring back. And all they know is filth. They know vulgarity. They know, and they smoke as a kid up, just a small child. Cuss, use God's name in vain. Cheat. And they're just raised that way. Now, for that person to have an even break with somebody that has a godly mother and dad, and they have had all the advantages through the genes of their parents, you could say, well, that guy has all the difference in the world over me. In other words, he has a better chance to go to heaven than I do. But you know what? When they both come to the altar, they have both got to be born again. And when they're born again, instead of taking after their first parents, they don't take after their first parents. When you're born again, it says you begin to adopt and take after your heavenly parent. It says that by these great and precious promises, we are partakers of God's divine nature. Now, that guy that's over on the other side of that track and been raised in that environment, when he is prayed through at an old-fashioned altar and he gives his heart to God and he's saved, a child of God, and Jesus comes on the inside, he is a new creature. The Lord sends the power of the Holy Ghost, and in his belly is flowing rivers of living water. Then he is kept by the power of God, and as he takes communion, the grace of God strengthens him, and he has just as easier time going to heaven as the other fella if he dwells and lives in the Spirit. But if he goes back in the flesh, how many believe that same old thing will take place? Now, a lot of people having a big battle trying to go to heaven, they want to live as much in the flesh as they can. Let me ask you a question. Let's get this straight. How many hours a day does God allow you to live in the flesh for him to get along with you and to live the rest of it in the Spirit? You know what living in the flesh is. You find this Bible, God never allows you 1 minute, day or night, any time to live in the flesh. You may commit an act of the flesh, but God defies you to go back to the flesh and live in it. If you commit a sin of the flesh, you are to repent right then, ask God to forgive you with the intention not to do it again. He doesn't give you 5 minutes and allow you, say, I'll let you live 5 minutes in the flesh. Many times you do it, you come back, God will have mercy and forgive you if you repent, take you back. But where do you get the idea that we live in the flesh? We'll go to church and get in the Spirit. When are you ever to get out of it? My friend, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, for if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Why is it God never wants you to get in the flesh? Because when you get in the flesh, brother, you get in Dutch with God, you get in trouble, you give the devil the advantage over you and your spirit and your life when you're in the flesh, because that's his territory. It's not God's territory. And Satan has the advantage when you're in the flesh. And God therefore said, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. But the next verse says, but ye are not in the flesh, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Is this good preaching? Will it take you to heaven? You'll never go to heaven unless you're in Christ. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, but you say it'd be a job. get myself all straightened out and kind of coming to God and praying the right thing and getting it all straightened out. All you've got to do is surrender. He's made a provision for the whole thing. Would it surprise you if I tell you that Jesus Christ perfected you 1900 years ago? That's what the Bible said. When he went to the cross and died by one sacrifice, he perfected forever everyone that's sanctified the very minute you come to Christ and accept God's divine grace. He's made a provision for everything you have lack of. He can make the thing that's weak in your life, he can reverse it and make that thing strong in your life. Now, I'm going to say just this. How many believe that Jesus Christ, since we have known about him, he has filled two offices? He has filled the first one as our Savior. He was our Redeemer. And nobody but him performed that act. He was our Savior. He come to redeem us. He's called our Redeemer. He's called our Savior. God said that he did such a good job of it until he says in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter and 3rd verse, how shall anybody escape the what? The wrath of God, the hell of hells. How shall anybody escape if they neglect so great salvation? What salvation is it? It's the great salvation that was bought and purchased by the Son of God. Now, what did he do to become, when his earthly mission or his job was to be a Savior? He was to come to this earth and swap his glorified body for a natural body. He took not upon him the nature of angels, but he was made a little lower, and he was made of the seed of David, and made of the seed of Abraham. And he took upon him the infirmities of his brethren. He was made subject to all points of temptations as we are, yet without sin. There, 100% God and no part man whatsoever, he lays aside his glorious diadem and comes down according to the great plan of salvation to be born of a woman, to get on our level, to walk our life, to feel our feelings. He did not have angel nature. He took upon our nature and was subject to all temptations as we are. And the devil threw the book at him, and he was tempted, yet without sin. He walked through this life, and he performed miracles and cast out devils and taught us what he was going to do for us. And then he went to the cross, and he gave his life. He paid a price that no man on this earth would ever be willing to pay. It wasn't dying on the cross, that's vacation. I'm going to say this real quick, then I'm going to be bringing this to a close. What I'm saying is this: I want somebody to find a hole in what Christ did in his first mission. His first job was the Savior. I want you to find where he weakened. I want you to find some place where he failed. Brother, when the time come for him to go to that cross, he went to the garden because he knew that when he went to the cross and hung on it, he would have to take J.C. Hibbard's sins. Every sin I ever committed, every sin I ever will commit, God laid the iniquity of all of my sins on him. And the Bible said, who his own self, he bore our sins in his own body. If he didn't do it, the Bible is a lie. It's not a lie. God cannot lie. It means that every sin I ever committed, it found its way to the body of God's Son on the cross. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And God of heaven made him to be sin, who knew no sin. Never was a human being on earth as holy and pure and spotless and clean as Jesus. He never committed a sin. When the devil came to him just before the crucifixion, it said that the prince of this world cometh and find nothing in me. Holy and sinful, sinless. And here Jesus hangs on the cross. And God let him take our whipping. God let him take our sins in his own body. And there, when he was forsaken, he cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he had to pour out his soul unto death. And then when he said, "Father, it's finished," after he had suffered so long, you say, what was it all about? Why couldn't God have just said, "Okay, son, I'll go ahead and forgive them. You won't have to really take the sin. You won't really have to be made sin. You really won't have to pour your soul out to death. You won't really have to be separated from me, son. I'll let you just kind of cut it short." No, that's what Jesus asked him to do in the garden. He said, "Father, I know thou canst do all things. And if it is possible..." You can do all things if it's possible. Let this cup. What was the cup? The thief didn't take the cup. No human being on earth ever took the cup. It was the dregs of our sin and iniquity. And he must drink it. And God must deal once and for all with sin in the body of his son, that we can go scot-free. He takes our whipping and we go to God by grace. We get saved and filled and born again and walk in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Rivers of living water are rushing. We go to heaven with a flying color. Why? Because he paid for it. He paid a price when he poured out his soul unto death. To ignore that and neglect it is to say to yourself, "I am signing my death warrant. How shall you escape?" God said, "How shall you escape?" Answer the question, how will you escape if you neglect? God said, don't you neglect it. When Jesus becomes sin, the cesspool of iniquity. How do you imagine he felt? How do you imagine he felt? How do you feel when you commit one real slimy sin? Huh? "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ." Can you merit being in Christ? Never! But believing on the Son that merited it by taking my guilt, I can enjoy something I cannot merit. But to reject something you can enjoy without you meriting it, you sign your own death decree. God poured out on him, and there in him is every sin you ever committed, every sin Hitler ever committed, John Dillinger, greatest rapist, greatest murders, vile swears, sex perverts, sex fiends, whoremongers. The cup was filled with the dregs. You got a choice. Let God deal with your sins in his son and go scot-free. Listen. God made him sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and when he said, "My God, thou canst do all things, and now, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I don't want to drink it." If there's a way you can forgive them and let them go into heaven without going to hell,
Nobody ever merited hell. Who ever heard of anybody being able to sin enough? If you got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and stood and jumped and screamed and shook your finger at God and cussed and swore and lied, committed adultery, you'd do it all of your life if you lived 1,000 years. You could never merit hell. Nobody can. It's not that God sends you there. You're already lost. You're already sold out through Adam's transgression. Sin has already come upon you. God can't let sin back into heaven. It's got to be dealt with in His Son in this life. And it's so easy that you don't have to do nothing but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to ask you to stand when I tell you. And I want you to speak to somebody. It's not going to be, He is your Savior, but you're not speaking to the Savior now. You're speaking to your high priest. Did you hear what I said? It said, consider. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd chapter, the 4th chapter, the 5th chapter, 3 places, the 6th chapter, 23rd verse, on down through the end, the 7th chapter, the 8th chapter, 11th verse, on down through, and the 9th verse, all of those chapters in Hebrews have to do with Christ, His eternal heavenly office. Now, not as a Savior dying, but as an exalted high priest that sits at the right hand of God to appear in the presence of God for us. Who is us? It's Sister Hibbard. Who is us? It's Randy. Who is us? It's our son, my grandson right here, Eddie. Who is us? It's this young fellow here. He appears in the presence of God for us. He's going to bat for us. He ever lives to make intercession. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What does He do? He has brought His blood there and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. He paid a price for your perfection, for your forgiveness, for your river of living water, and whatever you have need of. And when He sits at the right hand of God, every scripture you find Him now, He's our heavenly high priest. I wish I had time to read the excerpts, the high points. Now let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we. Wherefore, He is able to succor those that are tempted. What kind of a high priest are we coming to? One that ever lives. How do we know He's there now? Because He ever lives. He's not going to save me. He saved me 1900 years ago. When I stand in need of forgiveness, He is my merciful high priest, standing before God to intercede, and He is there to appear in the presence of God for us. And don't you let anyone tell you that the faintest whisper is heard by our Lord Jesus. You can't put your little finger in one little arrow, one little thing He comes short of. Brother, He was a masterful giant when He came to be our Savior. Are you born again? If not, the mediator is there appearing in the presence of God. If you have never been passed from death unto life, you're still in the flesh. If you want to get out of the flesh and you want to be in Christ, all you've got to do is to raise your hand and say from the depth of your soul, Lord, come into my life. And do you know what he said? In the will, and that New Testament is his will, he shed his blood. It's the New Testament in his blood. The New Testament, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's in the will. How many believe that he's there to execute that will? And as you come into his presence, let me ask you this question now. How many in this building, you're not pleased with your walk of the Spirit, as you should? You found yourself yielding to the flesh too much. That's where all your problems come from. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. Not even the slightest bit. Romans 8, 2. There is therefore now no condemnation. How many want to live that kind of life every day? You want to live it? Be ready when Jesus comes. Let me see your hand. How many here this morning, there is something you want the heavenly high priest to do for you as you raise your hand? You want to raise it and let him see it. And you want to let him know there's something you want him to do for. Let me see your hand. Put it up. Hold it up. I want you to put the other hand up, and we're going to look to God right now. You are praying to our Lord, who is your heavenly high priest. Father, we come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't expect one person to dwell as they have in the past. We expect something to happen because you said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You said it, and you're there to execute it at the right hand of God. I pray right now for every person that is unsaved and they're not born again, and they realize that you said, how shall we escape the hell of hell? If we neglect is putting it off. Oh God, we pray that God-given conviction to grip the hearts of thy children. And Lord, forgive every sin. You said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I pray to cleanse right now, to cleanse every iniquity and blot it out. For Jesus' sake, we commit it into your hands. Thank you, Jesus, right now. How many believe God heard that prayer? It'll come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. You don't have to tell the Lord a lot. All you got to do is say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. That's how cheap heaven is. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. And you go into paradise. Little did he realize that through eternity he'd be with God in heaven. He was guilty as the other thief. The other thief didn't say anything. Went to hell, the Bible says. And will be in hell forever. The other is in heaven forever because he merely said, Lord, remember me. He believed what he said. You, if you believe it, all you've got to do is ask God. You can go out that building with no condemnation. You can't be good enough to satisfy God. You'll go to hell with your own goodness. It stinks in God's sight. It said your self-righteousness is filthy rags. Bow your heads in just a word, just a moment. Just before Brother Hibbert closes, how many in this building, you're not sure that you are born again, but you want me to know and you want God to know that you do want to be born again, and you want him to reveal himself to you. Would you just put your hand up and down again and say, Brother Evan, I'm not satisfied yet. There's one. Put your hand up. Anywhere else? There's two. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you, I felt someone felt that way. I'm going to ask you to look at Brother Hibbert and believe me. He that cometh unto me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. There is no excuse under heaven That would give Jesus an excuse for turning you away if you're ready. You raised your hand. I want every Christian here to raise your hand right now with me. Let's ask God to blot out the sin of that life. Let them from their heart surrender right now, dear Lord Jesus. I pray to manifest your love to that person. Blot out every guilt right now in the name of Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus, right now. Oh, hallelujah. Forgive, Lord, and cleanse by the precious blood of Jesus. By the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right. While we remain standing, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. But I want you to remember this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. If you know you've committed sin and it hasn't been repented, you know you're not in Christ. If you permit it to go on, John said, I write to you that you sin not, but if you sin, we have an advocate. Your privilege is to come to God immediately and ask God to forgive you. But if you don't do it, and you know there's condemnation, can you say, I have condemnation, but I'm in Christ? The Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are to be manifest in our life, not the fruits of the flesh. Father, we pray that you'll go with us to our homes. We pray that you'll keep us molded in thy hand. Let us rejoice in that glorious victory that we're delivered out of the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Bless each one. Guide us and keep us and bring us back to the great evangelistic service tonight. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.